Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 20th day of July, 2022. I am thrilled to have a first-time guest on the program who I met at a recent Banner of Truth Pastors Conference in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, and after having some conversation with this brother, I knew that I wanted to interview him, and I believe the discussion that awaits us will be quite fascinating and edifying. His name is Otis Buckley, and he is pastor of High Point Bible Church, NYC, and we are addressing One Urban Black Pastor's Journey into the Doctrines of Sovereign Grace and Shepherding a Flock to Whom These Teachings Are New. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Otis Buckley.
How are you, Chris? And thank you for having me. It's my pleasure, and it's an honor, and I'm looking forward to a most edifying talk.
Amen. And tell our listeners about High Point Bible Church, NYC.
Yeah, so High Point Bible Church, NYC, it's in New York City, and it was a church that was set up and established by my father-in-law, and with his sudden passing, through a series of events in the Lord's providence, stepped into the senior pastor role, and it's been quite a journey, because where I was at the start, I have grown theologically and come into some new horizons, as it were, and greater understanding. And so it's just been a wonderful experience. We've got a great group of folks there, members there, and I came in and I knew that I was needing to shore up some things theologically, and so we started off just walking through the gospel and articulating that and preaching that and understanding that. I've been preaching expositionally, verse by verse, book by book, every once in a while, maybe stepping aside to address something that was a pressing matter. But for the most part, it's been expositional. And that's been good both for me as well as for our congregation. So,
praise God. And how long ago did your late father-in-law found the church?
Oh, goodness, that would have been about 35, 40 years ago.
Wow.
And, yeah, they had, you know, moved around, and at one point they were in Brooklyn and then in Harlem and then in, most recently, the Bronx. And so that's kind of where we've been since. But like a lot of churches in New York City, if you don't have your own building and you haven't been there a while, it's likely that you're probably sharing a space and so forth. And that's kind of where we find ourselves today. But nonetheless, great community. The love of the Lord is there. and the word is being preached every week by His grace.
Now, what would be a summary description of the church as your father-in-law founded it?
Well, it definitely would have been under the understanding of Pentecostal, charismatic, which was exactly how I was raised. And I say that sort of as a overarching term, Pentecostal, because there's kind of subsets within Pentecostal.
Yes, definitely.
And so my upbringing would have been more what would be the term classical Pentecostal.
Yes.
And you know, the church before would have been, prior to my arrival, definitely would have been charismatic Pentecostal with definitely the word of faith sort of overtones there.
Yeah, and classic Pentecostalism would involve, most of the time, five-point Arminianism, where you can actually, according to their teaching, lose your salvation.
Yes, definitely that. You do get a heavy emphasis. Well, let me say this. Because the thinking is that one could lose their salvation, that by default places an excessive emphasis on holiness. And so what that means is then because you can lose your salvation, then you really need to strive for holiness. And so what it puts you in, it puts that individual, that person with that mindset, with that thinking, it puts them in a burdensome situation where there's very little assurance, very little peace in their daily walk that they would get from the finished work of Christ. And the Holy Spirit really becomes more of a tag-along rather than the power within. And so, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, in fact, I have told some of my Pentecostal and charismatic brothers and sisters when we have discussions, sometimes they will wrongly accuse me and all non-Pentecostal, non-charismatic Christians, and especially Calvinists, of not believing in the Holy Spirit. And I have told them that I rely upon the Holy Spirit far more than you do, because I don't even believe a person's own will can bring them to a point of a saving faith prior to the Holy Spirit's bringing them new life and regenerating them, and prior to Christ giving us a new heart. We who are reformed have a stronger emphasis, I believe, on the Holy Spirit than even Pentecostals do, because I think that the tendency can be a very superficial reason to bring up the Holy Spirit in worship, which just typically involves how excited you are and how enthusiastic you are and how boldly you sing and how energetically you dance in the worship and all that. But before we go into the actual main thrust of our interview today, which is the journey that God placed you on, which led to you discovering and embracing what have become known as the doctrines of sovereign grace, also nicknamed Reformed theology and nicknamed Calvinism and nicknamed free grace, and there are other nicknames that have been developed over the years, over the centuries. We have a tradition here when we have a first-time guest on, such as yourself, that first-time guest gives a summary of their salvation testimony, including the kind of religious atmosphere you were raised in, if any, and the kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to Himself and saved you. So let's hear your story.
Sure. So, yeah, I was raised in a Pentecostal household, and let me say at the onset of this that I so thank God for it, because there's such a richness that it's been clear to me that I need it in the way that the Lord would order my steps over the course of time. But being raised in that context, what that meant was that, you know, there were altar calls. So I remember it like it was this morning, that there was an altar call on a particular Wednesday night Bible study. And I had been, as some would say, feeling the nudge to go down some time before that. And in that, this particular Wednesday night Bible study, I stood up. I was 10 years old, and I was very cognizant, if you will, of what it was that I was doing. I knew that this was me coming forward as a public declaration that I wanted salvation, and everything about that experience would have definitely made Charles Finney happy. So it definitely had the Finneyism, but even in that sort of engineering the moment, as it were, the Lord still used that. And I came down and I was taken to the back for prayer and then prepped for baptism. And I was baptized in that context. And let me say this too, that was a, I was under the stream of Pentecostalism that was modalist. So it was a Sabellian.
Wow. So you're talking about the United Pentecostal Church International, or a different group within Oneness Pentecostalism?
Well, this was definitely Oneness Pentecostal. In fact, it probably would have been the largest or the second largest Oneness Pentecostal denomination, if you will. And it was, so there really was sort of two. There's like the UPCI, and then there would have been what's called the PAW. And the PAW stands for Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. And just a quick little historical fact on that, it once was Trinitarian. And due to a series of events, and without getting into the Azusa Street movement, but due to a series of events, it embraced Oneness Pentecostalism. And so from there, that was the context that I was reared and raised in. So I was baptized according to the formula of Acts chapter 2, not, and I say formula because that's kind of how they think about it. That's kind of how it's taught. It's taught that it has to be this way. And so that's why I use the term formula. But in any case, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. I knew that my life was changed forever. And the next day I went back to school and told all my friends about it. Had no idea I was setting myself up to be bullied and picked on. But in any case, I started walking this life, and I knew just through observation, without even much Bible teaching, what was expected of me. I knew that there were certain things that I couldn't do. So I was really looking for the check boxes. No use of profanity, no sex before marriage, no, we can go down this whole list of things that are right and moral and even biblical. But all in all, it became the thing that I watched out for, which then made me less cognizant of things like pride and so forth, right? Pride, the mother hen that hatches every other sin. And so I dealt with a lot of that, but nonetheless, growing up, getting through high school, middle school and high school, I started to sort of go my own way as a teenager. And when I say go my own way, I was very much connected to the church, very much involved in the church, very much connected to youth ministry and things like that. And so we had our outings and our youth retreats and youth camps and all the stuff that youth ministries do. But even within youth ministry, there was not a lot of people that had a conviction about sin. And so it was almost like it was, and I said it amongst my peers, it was almost like it was, you know, well, that's kind of what we do while the grown folks are, you know, watching, but we really sort of have our own thing over here, you know. So, like, you know, kids are trying to, you know, sort of live this double life. And so I found myself navigating those waters and you know, definitely had some mistakes made and so forth. But because there was this burden of holiness on me, I felt like I really just had to plead for God to forgive me. I had to really earn. And I was deeply sorrowful, but it was really, really promoted from a sense of, I just want to get back on the right side with God because I don't want to lose my salvation. Not because, you know, I just, you know, grieved the Holy Spirit by, you know, having him participate in my sin and really going against the word and will of God, but it was more so, you know, I just need to get back into the ark of safety, if I can use that phrase. So I went through some of that through high school, but still had this lingering conviction on me and so forth. And then I get into young adulthood and, you know, it didn't really get any better. But then I had this moment where, fast forward, I turned 30. And I had been pursuing a career in music at that time and in the arts, heavy into the arts and so forth. And nothing really panned out. I had a modicum of success, but nothing really sustainable that I could live off of. And I remember sitting in my one-bedroom apartment, and I just said, Lord, what is this? What's going on? And just in my prayer, I just felt like I needed to really take my life more seriously. Part of that was I was getting older. And so my life wasn't necessarily improving economically. So I get tired of, you know, just sort of living, you know, that way. And through a series of events, I started getting involved in ministry again, through a church I was attending. And here's what's interesting. So I was working in, the media department, television department within a church, and so I'm running camera and I'm editing sermon videos and all these kinds of things, and I'm doing all this stuff. And I got involved with a group that definitely would have been charismatic and probably more so NAR. And I took,
so that would be the New Apostolic Revival.
Yes, New Apostolic Reformation, as some call it. Yes.
Yes, right.
Yeah. And so within that, there was a class that I had taken, and it was just basically, it was sort of Hebrew roots, but not quite Hebrew roots. But it definitely had some of those elements in it. So, in other words, it wasn't like a harshness on the Sabbath, you know, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. It wasn't anything like that. It wasn't like, you know, dietary restrictions and things like that that I know sometimes are, you can find in certain Hebrews, communities. But this was more so, and it's just so interesting how the Lord used this, was really more so getting into the Bible and understanding certain words in their Hebrew meaning. And from that, it just sparked my curiosity. And I'll never forget, I had this moment where we were looking at Matthew 18 and 18. Whatsoever things you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Growing up Pentecostal, that meant if there was something that we didn't like that was going on in our lives, we could bind it. And if we thought Satan was behind it, we could bind him. And if we thought there was demon activity behind it, we could bind them. And if there was something in our life that we did want, then we can loose those things. And so, after all, Jesus said, whatever you bind, I'll make sure it happens up here, and whatever you lose, I'll make sure it happens up here, it happens down there. So again, we've looked at that as a formula. Well, this class I was taking, I realized that wasn't about that at all. And I started getting into the Greek text, of that particular verse, and I realized, wait a minute, that's not what this text is saying. And Chris, that became the crack in the dam. So then I started looking at other popular texts within the world of Pentecostalism and charismatic. And so I started looking and started investigating. I just started looking at the original languages, and I'm like, wait a minute. This isn't what that means, but not what that means. What else do I have a misunderstanding about? And one thing led to another, and the Lord was just sort of laying out breadcrumbs of clarity and of truth and illuminating his word to me. And I realized I got to back up and really look at the Bible again and not try and impose onto the text what I heard it mean to me or what I imagine it would mean. Because one of the things you got to understand about the Pentecostal world and the preaching that goes on in the charismatic world, while there are some who would definitely have scholarly credibility, and I don't want to in any way make it sound like that's not the case, but generally, over and abundantly, there's a ton of allegorizing that goes on. There's a ton of eisegeting that goes on, and you don't know it until you know it. And it sounds good, and it makes for great man-centered preaching, which I had heard a lot of. I didn't hear that exclusively, but I did hear it mostly. And so I started going back and saying, wait a minute, that's not right. And, well, this isn't right. And that's not right. And that's what this means. That's what this means. And so as clarity came, my curiosity just got sparked all the more. So now I'm looking up YouTube videos. I'm looking up YouTube videos, and people like Dr. Steve Lawson is coming up, and R.C. Sproul are coming up. And I'm just listening to tons of R.C. Sproul and tons of Steve Lawson and John MacArthur and tons of Vodi Bakum. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is totally different from what I had heard. There were times, Chris, I'd be sitting up watching YouTube videos 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning. Every time they mentioned the book, I put it in my Amazon cart. Every time there was a reference to a podcast, I'm subscribing to the podcast. So I'm going through a whole season of just ingesting this stuff and imbibing this stuff and looking at it with the scripture, because they're going verse by verse and they're expositing. And I'm like, where have I been? And so all this is happening just before me stepping into the pastorate. Once I stepped into the pastorate, I'm still not totally there yet. Because you got to bear in mind, particularly when you're talking about growing up in these environments, there's a whole sociology that we have to consider. And what I mean by that is, there's family, there's friends, there's community, there's long relationships that go 20, 30, 40 years. What do you do with all of that? How do you reconcile all of those relationships with those that you love dearly? And yet, the Lord is bringing you into this truth. So, you know, you vacillate a little while, and I definitely vacillated, went back and forth. Then I kind of sat on the fence for a while. I didn't push issues. But inwardly, the Lord was really just doing a great work in my own heart and my own soul. And I'm seeing God in his bigness. as we say, big God theology. And so I realized the only thing I brought to my salvation was the sin that required it.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just said amen.
When I latched on to that, the sovereignty of God and salvation, everything else was a domino effect. And I would talk to friends who were reformed. You know, I've even heard some people say, yeah, I'm a 4-point, not a 5-point. Or I'm a 3.5-ish, but not quite the other two. And I get it. Limited atonement, that's tough. Or as we would say, particular atonement, better, I guess, better put. That's tough. Effectual calling. I mean, that just flies in the face of an altar call. So what do you do with that, right? So there's all kinds of things that I'm just having to really pray through and work through and talk with people about. And I'll say this, and if you want to pause here, that's fine, but I'll just make this last point about how the Lord did it. There was a moment where I reflected back on a lot of things that I had seen and had participated in, conferences that I had gone to. I'll never forget one day I was sitting at a particular event, and there was this healing service that was going on, as it was called. I'll never forget this, Chris. I remember sitting there, and while I absolutely believe that the Lord can heal today and does heal today, I believe it is completely at His will. But in the sense of a person going around and wielding this on demand, like it's Netflix or something, and all we got to do is choose it? No. So, but I remember thinking to myself, something about this is not right. Something about this just seems fraudulent. And I don't want to place an indictment on a person's character per se, because let me say this, there's a ton of people who truly are just clueless in those communities and in those gatherings. They just have no idea. I mean, it's just the teaching, the understanding is just not there. The biblical literacy is just not there. So a lot of them are just really coming in with just a ton of hope, and they just really have no idea. And then you have those who would even go and try and replicate these types of events, younger guys. And I'll tell you, Chris, they have no idea. They're just watching it modeled, and they've seen it done this way for years. And so that's the reason why I say I want to be careful about how I categorize and speak about certain individuals. I'm not saying that people, that everyone in those spaces are necessarily a fraud. I'm saying that what was happening was not real. It was not legit. It was, in many instances, as we say, psychosomatic, right? I just remember this is not adding up. This is not adding up, but I didn't have the language to really articulate that. I didn't have the theology to really work that through with precision. But I just said, no, something's not right. And one day, I was sitting and just going through the Word and was looking at different texts in the Gospels where Jesus was healing, whether we're talking about Mark or John. I remember saying, I don't see it like this. I don't see, in other words, I don't, the way Jesus is doing this, I mean, even the way the Apostle Paul would have done it, I'm not seeing it happen this way. And I said, what's the deal? And that was the moment that I decided, I think all of us have to come to this moment where I said, you know what? If the Bible teaches it, even if I wasn't raised seeing it this way, if the Bible teaches it, going to receive it. I'm going to accept it. This is going, if it's the biblical view, it's going to be my view.
Praise God.
Regardless if my best friend holds to a different one or my aunt holds to a different one. And I love my best friend and my aunt, but I'm going to go with the word on this.
Amen. In fact, we're going to pick up right where you left off there, because we have to go to our first station break. And if anybody would like to send in a question for Pastor Otis, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And I could readily understand that a topic like this may evoke questions that are personal and private, because you may have people who are going through a similar journey that Pastor Otis Buckley has gone through and is continuing to go through. You may even have not only a member of a congregation in that on that journey, but a pastor, just like Pastor Otis was and is. Well, we can understand that you'd want to remain anonymous at this point, but if it's just a general question, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Otis Buckley right after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnzen September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's Word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the Word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a tie in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand, that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the entire two-hour program is Pastor Otis Buckley of High Point Bible Church, NYC, located in New York City, as the name would indicate. We are discussing One Urban Black Pastor's Journey into the Doctrines of Sovereign Grace and Shepherding a Flock to Whom These Teachings Are New. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and your country of residence, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And before I take any of the listener questions that have come in, wanted to have you clarify a couple of things. We were talking earlier about the fact that the church that you inherited, basically, was in its founding a oneness Pentecostal church, an anti-Trinitarian church or Unitarian church. Those churches do not comprise a monolith. There are differences among them. And I can remember years ago, I arranged a live public moderated debate between my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and Robert Sabin, who at the time was the one of two of the leading apologists for oneness Pentecostalism. Robert Sabin began in the United Pentecostal Church International, which was a much more strict organization, denomination. One might even call it a cult, because they believed that Trinitarians were damned. They believed that we were actually tritheists, or, as sometimes I've heard it phrased, that we worshipped a three-headed monster. And then Robert Sabin eventually left that group and was, although remaining a oneness Pentecostal, was in a much more tolerant group that had ecumenical relationships with Trinitarians, much like T.D. Jakes and folks on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. So where were you in that spectrum, or where was the church in that spectrum?
I'm glad you asked that. So I want to make a couple of things clear, as you just asked. So the oneness Pentecostal church that I reference pertaining to me was the church I was raised in, not the church that I succeeded my father-in-law.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So, no, my father-in-law was absolutely Trinitarian. Absolutely. But the way that I was raised, going back to my early childhood, it was modalist in its view. And another thing about that is we absolutely had relationships with Trinitarians. So it was not the rigid sort of approach that you had referenced the other gentleman, who had transitioned to a more tolerant OP group, but no, I was always raised to be very, very tolerant, very accepting, of Trinitarians. The oneness environment that I came up in embraced brothers and sisters who were Trinitarian. Without saying it this way, I guess sort of the tone and the way I saw it I'm not saying that my view would be accurate or an accurate representation of those who, you know, of the environment I was brought up in. But the way it seemed to me, I'll say it that way, was that we had a more perfect knowledge of who God is, and Trinitarians did not. And so, but it's funny though, because actually, not funny, but it's interesting that as I grew up, I really didn't know the difference. So I didn't know what the big deal was. It really wasn't until later in my adulthood, even a few years before me pastoring, that I said, wait a minute. No, God is triune. And I just, even just in a very sort of intellectual way, as best I could, I just started to do away with that oneness view, because it just didn't gel with the scriptures. I later, as I grew in my theology, am able now to articulate it more biblically, but at my time, I didn't know what all this fuss was about.
Now, there are a couple of other elements that are involved in some of the stricter oneness Pentecostal groups. One is the absolute necessity of immersion in water for salvation, and the absolute necessity of speaking in tongues as the evidence for salvation. Not just as an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but actually an evidence that is required for salvation. Was your upbringing including those other elements of the more rigid?
Absolutely. Those two, and this is why I say it's kind of a jigsaw, the way that it's carved out, the way Pentecostal sort of beliefs and views are. Because you could find some Pentecostals who would say, no, that's not true. And then you would find others who would say, no, that's absolutely true. Now, which group was larger? It would have been the ones who said absolute immersion and speaking in tongues. And so the second baptism, if you will, that was the first baptism, which is just sort of viewed as sort of just the natural process of just going down into water, was viewed as important for salvation. But to live a life of power, however they would define that, you had to have the, and I'm putting up air quotes here, filling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So yes, those two were present in my upbringing.
Okay, well, we do have some listener questions. I will read at least one of them before we go to our midway break, which is rapidly approaching. We have Mike from Monroe, New York. I have a similar testimony to Pastor Otis, and I was delivered by our Lord out of the charismatic movement and eventually convinced that this was not biblical. After finding the truth as it is in Jesus, I felt compelled to offer a witness to those within the movement that this was not what Scripture taught concerning signs, gifts, after the apostolic era, and the finalization of divine revelation and authority of Scripture, which is the doctrine of sola scriptura in a nutshell. Does Pastor agree that we who know the truth of this error ought to, in love, address those who remain a part of it so that they may depart and embrace the truth as we did?
Great question. You know, I think we have to look at relationships as they are. So what I mean by that is, just because a person may have a family member who is a part of that or holding to unscriptural beliefs, we have to make sure that one, we do want to take the Jude approach, if you will, and there's going to be those where we want to snatch them like brands out of the fire. But at the same time, we want to look out for those who maybe grappling with those distinctives in a very loving way, approach that conversation, showing them that from the text. And one of the things that I've found helpful is not to assume that because I may have the audience or the influence with a friend or a loved one, that that's going to be enough to change how a person may think or have been thinking for decades. But rather, if we're going to proclaim sola scriptura and say, look at what the text says, look at what the scripture says, let's look at what the Bible says. But here's the part that in helping those embrace biblical right thinking, we have to understand what is the framework from which they operate. And I know I'm going to be taking a while to answer this question, but I'll just say it this way. I didn't know how to read the Bible to even, if someone showed this to me from the text, to even comprehend it. And I'll give you a key point that I mean here, case in point. I had to learn that the Bible does have literary genres, that the Bible does use idioms and hyperbole. So if I'm talking to someone who thinks that they can literally speak things into existence because the power of life and death is in the tongue, and I highlight those two because those would be two highly held views within Pentecostal and Charismatic churches. If I'm talking to someone who has that view, but they don't understand the use of allegory, of metaphors, of analogies, of hyperbole, then they're just coming from such a place of literal thinking that's why they think they can do that in the first place. So we're not even starting off with the same framework of even how to read the Bible. So you can show them anything you want to from the Bible, but if they're not operating and coming from that place, that framework of how to even read it in the first place, like I have done in my own experiences, you'll just go around in circles and circles, and you'll never land on anything concrete.
In fact, let's pick up where you left off, because we have to go into the midway break right now. Let's not forget where you left off, because I think you were right in the middle of making some extremely valid points. Thank you, Michael, in Monroe, New York, and keep listening to the show and keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're going to the midway break, folks, so please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you possibly can provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers, even if that just means thanking them for sponsoring the program, if indeed you are grateful that our advertisers exist, because, folks, we absolutely rely upon our advertisers and the financial support that those advertisements provide to remain on the air. So if you really love the show and you're grateful that there are people keeping it on the air, thank our advertisers with the contact information that they provide. And also send in your email to Pastor Otis Buckley at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past to present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please never forget, folks, to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, and also to replenish your own library. That's solid-ground-books.com. Purchase frequently, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Pastor Otis Buckley and our conversation about his journey into the doctrines of sovereign grace, we have just a couple more important announcements to make. First of all, if you really love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear, I'm urging you please to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer mailing in a check the old-fashioned way, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are in urgent need of your financial help, folks. So please, if you have been blessed financially above and beyond your ability to support your church and your family, then please share some of the extra money that you have that's collecting interest in the bank, or extra money that you have for recreational and trivial purposes. Please share some of that with us to help us remain in existence, if indeed you love the show and don't want it to disappear. I never want anybody giving their own church where they are a member less money in order to bless us financially. Please never do that. And I never want anybody who's really struggling to survive to have even more bills piling up on your kitchen table unpaid because you've given to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Wait until you are more financially stable to give us a financial gift. Those two things are commands of God, providing for church and family. And providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But as I said, if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you have extra funding, and you have money that you use for benevolent reasons, if you do love this show, then please help us with some of that money by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have extensive lists of faithful churches spanning the globe, and I may be able to help you find a church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, as I have done with many people in the audience of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio all over the planet Earth. So if you're in that category, or if somebody that you love is in that category of not having a solid church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. Also, if you'd like to advertise with us, whether it's your business, whether it's your professional practice, whether it is your church or a parachurch organization or a special event, as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what I believe, I would love to hear from you because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars too. Send in an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "advertising" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for Pastor Otis Buckley on his journey into the doctrines of sovereign grace. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence, and only remain anonymous if your question is a personal and private one. Before we return to what we were last discussing, you were highlighting the fact that before you understood the doctrines of sovereign grace by the mercy of God, most people in that category, before being enlightened to these things, didn't even have the tools necessary to rightly interpret the Word of God. Before we continue with that, I want to also clarify something. I'm sure our listener, Mike in Monroe, New York, would agree with this. And I'm sure that Pastor Buckley agrees with this. But we have to make sure that we are not broad-brushing all of Pentecostals and Charismatics. There is a wide spectrum of individuals and beliefs within that spectrum, some which would be damnable because it's actually denying salvation by grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone, and it is a works righteousness theology, which Paul condemned in the book of Galatians as being no gospel at all. But you have others who are believing in the same gospel that my guest and I believe in, whether they be evangelical Arminians who have a true gospel, or even those that believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace who remain in the charismatic movement, such as Wayne Grudem, for instance, and Sam Storms, for instance. They are both thoroughgoing Calvinists. And I have a dear friend now in heaven, Al Stein, who was an Assemblies of God bishop. He was an overseer for all the churches in the Assembly of God on Long Island, New York, where I'm originally from. He eventually, by God's grace, became a thoroughgoing five-point Calvinist. And it's really a miracle that he was able to remain in ministry in the Assemblies of God. And my friend Jim Capo, former pastor of the Massapequa Church of God on Long Island, New York, he is a thoroughgoing five-point Calvinist. So we can't broad-brush all those folks that come under the umbrella of Pentecostal or Charismatic, and certainly the majority do believe in the Trinity and reject strongly the heresies of Oneness Pentecostalism. And would you like to comment on anything I just said there, Pastor Otis?
Yeah, well, I would just like to reiterate absolutely what you said, and that's absolutely true. You know, the thing is that, you know, when we start broad brushing, we'll end up misunderstanding and misrepresenting even worse those who are absolutely born again, those who are absolutely heaven bound, those who are absolutely our brothers and sisters of the faith. And I am absolutely sure, positive, and I know that. I'll also say this too. You know, it is, I don't have any data to back this up, but it is my sense that based on things that I hear and conversations that I have, that there are those within the big tent, Pentecostal, big tent, charismatic, who actually do hold to the doctrines of grace. But for one reason or another, the position that they may uniquely sit in, they have to be very, very thoughtful in how they communicate that, even in their preaching. But I was talking with some friends the other day who are in another, who would have been, you know, they're in the Pentecostal space, and me and this person were talking, and we absolutely believe that there are quite a few, more than we probably think or would realize, who do hold to the doctrines of grace. And, you know, we can say if it's, you know, right or wrong, good or bad, but they are actually working in those churches and in those communities to really bring the understanding of the sovereignty of God and salvation, at least as a starting point. I mean, we have to start there. If God is not the one who ultimately saves, then if God doesn't save ultimately, then we've totally misunderstood salvation. And there are those who are wanting answers to that. And I get calls all the time, messengers and inbox all the time, who are saying, hey, you know, man, I was listening to your message or listening to the sermon last week, and I got some questions. So the Lord will open doors, and the Lord will absolutely, just as he did me and anyone else that the Lord has saved from the clutches of sin, he knows how to call his sheep. And so we just have to quote J.I. Packer, trust the sovereignty of God in evangelism.
Amen. And so going back to where we left off, you were talking about, I don't know if you have anything to add to this, but you're talking about a problem of basically a lack of proper training in congregations on biblical hermeneutics, how to even understand, to begin with, what the scriptures are saying. If you want to pick up where you left off there.
Yeah. So, just again, understanding that the Bible does have that there are proper hermeneutics to biblical to really, if we're to understand the text, then we have to have those biblical hermeneutics. And I have found it to be, I'm not saying that this is across the board, but I have found it to be when having these discussions with those who don't quite see the text the way that the text is revealing itself, I have to ask myself, what is the hinge point of our disagreement? More than not, I have found that it is they don't understand literary genre, parallelism, things like that, to even, as you said, have those tools to even explain it. So my point is, we can explain it all day long, but if we're not operating from the same hermeneutic, then we're just going to keep missing each other. And that's when things you know, turn into really unpleasant conversations if we don't have that understanding. So we have to be wise on the front end to understand, does this person work with the proper biblical hermeneutic? If not, then that's our starting point. So.
And I happen to know from experience and having friendships with Pentecostal and charismatic brothers and sisters over the decades I have been an evangelical Christian, that there is a gross misunderstanding about what the doctrines of sovereign grace really mean. Going back to my friend, Pastor Al Stein, who is now in glory with Christ for eternity, one of the ways that he was able to remain in a pastoral leadership and even becoming a bishop in the Assembly of God is that when they required an annual doctrinal statement to be signed, the issue over eternal security was by an amazing term of events. You have Pastor Stein saying that he did not believe that those could be truly saved without producing good works as an evidence, and he called it evidential security. And they accepted that, his authorities in the Assemblies of God, because the term eternal security, unfortunately, is twisted by many within evangelicalism, which would convey the idea that you can live a completely repentance-less life, live like Satan himself for the entirety of your life, never repenting, and you will still go to heaven because of some past experience at an altar call or raising your hand at Bible camp when you were 8 years old. And many in the Pentecostal movement, especially when you're talking about old school Pentecostalism, would see that rightly as heresy. And they don't understand the in the doctrines of sovereign grace, we adhere to something called the perseverance and preservation of the saints, that although works of men have absolutely nothing to do with us becoming a child of God, they have nothing to do with our predestination, election, or regeneration, they are a necessary evidence. And so isn't that a big hurdle for many who are sadly adopting a work righteousness understanding of the gospel because they really have perhaps never even been exposed to the right understanding of works being a required evidence rather than a meritorious cause of salvation?
Yeah, all right. So I'm going to try to thread this needle. So this is a very interesting topic, and it's something that is a hang-up for some in the Pentecostal space. So let me say this. Old school Pentecostal. If I think about the old school Pentecostal preachers that were a part of my childhood, and I kind of came on the tail end of what we would call old school, given just by my age, but they had that sort of old school church. They had one, I have found, in many cases, more theological training than some of the more recent contemporary ones. And I'll say that for a fact. Now, that's not say all of it, but you could hear expositional preaching and you can hear right exegesis as it, particularly as it pertains to this matter of eternal security. And there was this understanding that the Holy Spirit is going to enable, empower, and convict of sin, which then, if the Holy Spirit is truly indwelling a believer, then going to convict of sin. And if he convicts of sin, or should I say sense he will convict of sin, that will then drive that believer to a 1 John 1 and 9 scenario. If we confess our sins, he being God, is both faithful and just to forgive us. That's one thing he does. Then he goes one step further and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't just forgive us, but he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, here's what's interesting about that. In most Pentecostal circles and the churches that I was a part of, when we would have the benediction, the classic Pentecostal benediction is Jude 24. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, the NKJV, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Amen. But here's what's interesting. Many would deny eternal security, but then close out the service with, now unto him who was able to keep you from stumbling. So which one is it? Is it keep me from stumbling, or is it that it's up to me to keep myself from stumbling? This is where biblical hermeneutics is important. And this is sort of really fresh in my mind. I'm going to be preaching it soon. So there's the temporary fall that every believer will experience. And then there's the final falling, right? So in a temporary sense, throughout my life, I'm going to have sin. If we say we have no sin, we are a liar and his truth is not in us. That is, by the way, speaking to the body of believers. So that is to say then that a right understanding of sanctification gives us a right understanding of glorification. So if I understand that the Holy Spirit empowers me to walk an upright life, that doesn't mean that I have now achieved this level of superhuman holiness by my own volition or my own ability, but I'm working cooperatively with the Holy Spirit. But even my cooperation in my sanctification is still powered by the Holy Spirit. And so, but if I'm going to understand that, now I got to get back to justification. How am I saved? See, it's God in justification. It's God in sanctification, and it's God in glorification. And if I unplug any God from any one of those places, then it throws the whole thing off kilter. And now I'm trying to say, or I'm trying to earn, rather, and I'm saying, hey, it's up to me, even though I end the service with, now unto him. So again, this is where biblical hermeneutics comes into right understanding. So I may fall this morning. I may fall this afternoon. I may sin this evening. Here's the beauty, though. Because the Holy Spirit will convict me of sin, not condemnation. There's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but convict me of sin. The fact that I even care, that God even cares about how I'm living, thinking, walking, my motives, and all the above, I am driven to my knees. Now, 1 John 1 and 9 says, he is faithful and just to forgive. See, it's again, God again. So I got to see God in every single aspect of my redemption, my sanctification, and ultimately the consummating of my glorification. So he is my strength throughout all of my life. And so I can't say I don't believe in eternal security, but then in my service with now unto him who was able to keep me from stumbling. See, again, it was those kinds of apparent contradictions that made me rethink the doctrines of sovereign grace, or should I say embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace, because the stuff wasn't adding up scripturally.
Amen. And we have Marvin in Los Angeles, California, a first-time questioner, who says, I am a leader in a Latino church in Los Angeles. As a leader there, I myself am not as well versed in Reformed theology as I should be, and even less so in the case of most members of the church. The small group I'm leading now is going through Vody Balcom's expository apologetics. He has a chapter about the importance of creeds, confessions, and catechisms. For most of the people in the group, it was the first time they've ever interacted with that topic at all. It's like we're discovering our roots for the first time. We're with the American Baptist denomination, and for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with that, the American Baptist denomination, although not every congregation is liberal and apostate, there are quite a number of them, perhaps even most of them in the 21st century, who would be leftist to the point of denying the gospel and embracing homosexuality as a valid activity and so on. That's my interjection here into Marvin's email. I'm going through a book on Baptist history as well as getting familiar for the first time with the 1689 Baptist Confession. What baby steps would you take to try to get your church familiar with these foundations? Any books you used? And I'm going to leave his second question, or perhaps that's even his third or fourth question, till after you respond to this. I'm not even certain whether you are officially confessional, as the church where I'm a member is, but if you could respond to Marvin.
Sure. So I really appreciate the question. Here's, to the extent that I could respond, here is what I would say. With regards to book recommendations, a book that was really, really helpful for me that I think would be very helpful for you in your case is, again, there needs to be a reorienting, a complete reorientation of how the Bible is viewed, how the text is, how any text of scripture is going to be looked at. One of the things that's really helpful is, or has been helpful to me, is a book by Eric J. I don't want to mess up his last name, but it's Bargaruff, and it's called The Most Misused Verses in the Bible. The Most Misused Verses in the Bible. And he pretty much nails a lot of those misused verses. But here's what that will do. If you can provide clarification in just one of those endeared verses in the Bible, it becomes a crack in the dam, and it helps them understand, if I misunderstood this, what else am I misunderstanding? Second thing, and I've had to do this, in an effort to bring our congregation confessional, and let me say, there was a confession that was being used, but it was not a confession that you would want to use. I'll just leave it at that. I had to introduce a new confession. And you may want to consider this. First of all, the word catechism and the word creed for our congregation would have sounded Catholic. So I couldn't even use those terms.
Yeah, I'm a former Catholic, and my first hearing of those terms immediately transported me to my Roman Catholic upbringing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I had to be very wise in how I even talked about these concepts, not using those words. And so, but since there was a confession prior to, I just hung with that. I stayed with that. And so I had to redo our confession. I'm not saying that this is the way to go. I'm not saying that this is the best way to do it, but this is the way that I had to do it. I had to rewrite it. Number one, I'm just shooting for something biblical, all right? It's got to be biblical. And that was a huge hurdle for me, and it took me probably 2 years to bring that about. Which, by the way, be patient. Be very patient. Exhort with all patience. Teach with all patience. Be patient in this process. God is at work, and He knows what He's doing. He's working this out in and through you. He has you there. Be patient and trust that He will work this through. So that being said, I had to rework it. But the most misused verses in the Bible was very helpful for me. And because I am the teaching pastor, I have the unique ability of being able to introduce those things from the pulpit on a Sunday morning and teaching on a Bible study. And understand that how to do that gracefully and graciously, because I have a church that will probably skew a little more older. So people are very, very steeped in their ways. So I'd be very, very ginger in how I went about that, while yet and still being unequivocal. So again, I would say patience. The Missions Verse in the Bible was very, very helpful for me. There was also I did this. I bought the Heidelberg Catechism, the Westminster, and those were the first two I purchased for my own self, and then 1689 and so forth. And this beautiful, I mean, each one is beautiful in its own regard. I have found that when talking about certain subjects, and that's the thing, you gotta approach this thematically, right? So approach this with certain themes throughout scripture, not just sort of, here it is, right? Eternal security, effectual calling, the sufficiency of scripture, all of these things. If you can introduce those truths and simultaneously clarify misunderstood verses, it will help you introduce creeds and confessions better. Or should I say, it'll up the receptivity, I believe. And sometimes you may just have to hang out on one, just one confession. So if it's, you know, something regarding the Trinity and you want to reference the 1689, that's going to be, if you can piecemeal this out, you can do this for the long haul and really help bring this Reform theology, this understanding, there. And I don't know if he's serving as the pastor, as the lead pastor or teaching pastor or not. I'm not sure what the ecclesiology is, where he is, but even in a small group, you don't want to do something that is irreverent or undermining to the leadership. So I would never encourage that. But as the Lord gives opportunity, and you find a theme in, say, the 1689, hang out on that thing. Don't even call it 1689. Just take whatever that text that is being used to substantiate that statement, hang out there, and don't attribute it to people. You know, I would reference the Westminster, and I couldn't even reference the Westminster Divines, because that sounds like something mystical and spooky. What do you mean a person is divine?
And we'll have you answer Marvin's last question, or questions, plural, when we come back from our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. If you have a question to get in line with the other people still waiting, send it in immediately, because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Too, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
mention All Men in Ministry Leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free, brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002, 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
Welcome back, Pastor Otis Buckley. When we left the discussion to go to the last break, we have a listener in Los Angeles, California, Marvin, who is asking about confessions and creeds. And let me just put my two cents in here briefly that I have found it useful over the years when people have a militant anti-creed or confession attitude. I remind them that all these things are summaries when they are good creeds and confessions. They're summaries of what the Bible teaches. And everyone has a creed or confession. It's just either good or bad. In fact, my friend John Thornberry, who is retired from the pastoral ministry, a very prolific writer, especially on Baptist history, he used to be in the American Baptist Association, where our listener, Marvin, is still a member. And he was reading in the official denominational magazine that the American Baptist Association does not believe in creeds or confessions. And Pastor Thornberry wrote into the editor and said, "Do you realize that's a confessional statement? You're using human words to express something that you believe that's outside of the canonical scriptures." So anybody really has a creed and confession. If they write something down about their beliefs, it's just either biblically faithful or it's heretical or what have you. In fact, if you really want to take a strict anti-creedal and anti-confessional position, your minister should ascend into the pulpit, just read the Bible, and then sit down. You shouldn't preach or exegete the scriptures, which, of course, the Bible teaches you must do if you're a faithful minister. And even when somebody prays, they're using their own words. They might be quoting scripture in the prayer, but they're using their own words. So that's just my two cents about that. I don't know if you have any comment on that.
I wholeheartedly agree. I would even go so far as to say if you are praying publicly in the congregation, once again, you are in one way or another summarizing what you believe about God, about his word. So,
amen.
Okay,
Marvin says, was there resistance, and I'm assuming he's talking about your introducing sovereign grace to the congregation where you are, especially from those who might be more accustomed to a more emotional approach to church and are suspicious of too much doctrine? Let me just throw in my two cents here. I think that we in the Reformed Church could use a little more emotion in our worship service. But anyway, if you want to pick up where Marvin question ends there.
Yeah, oftentimes the thought is especially if there are those who are sort of on the fringes of Reformed theology, they're kind of getting somewhat familiar with it. If you just look through the window of the Reformed house, it would seem expressionless, for sure. So I would definitely agree with you on that. At the same time, what's important is to help them see things from the Word, from the Bible. Unless they just totally deny the authority of Scripture, unless they deny the inerrancy of Scripture, then if they can see it from the text, and you can explain it from the text, that is always the starting point to helping bring about clarity and helping to bring down resistance. Now, if they, you know, deny the inerrancy, the authority, now notice I did not, or the infallibility, notice I didn't say the sufficiency, because that can be another challenge, for sure. But at least if we could agree on the authority, sufficiency, and inerrancy, usually most reasonable people in the congregation will go, oh, I see it. It's right there. And that helps with them receiving it and moving forward with it.
Now, does there continue to be, or was there any resistance from your congregation, I think is what he's specifically asking.
I'm sorry. No.
Only
wow. Only because they were taught that if it's in the Word, you can't refute it.
And amen.
There was already that I had to work with. So in that regard, I didn't have an issue. Now, there's other issues that I faced, but that wasn't necessarily one of them.
Okay, thank you, Marvin. And since you're a first-time questioner, send me your full mailing address in Los Angeles, California, because you've won a free New American Standard Bible. Compliments of the publishers of the NASB, and also compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. We'll be shipping that Bible out to you if you provide us with your full mailing address. We have time for one last question. Alex in Winter Park, Florida. Can you ask Pastor Buckley how he navigates showing love and grace for members of his congregation that might still be trying to understand the doctrines of grace while not being domineering and pushing the position on the members of the church individually?
Yeah, I really appreciate that question. You know, I really had to, it's funny, if I got introduced to the doctrines of grace but I didn't preach every week, I would definitely need to go in a cage. But because I counsel even outside the pulpit, and because I pray with individually, and I talk with, and I move amongst the flock, if you will, and deal with, help them, helping, you know, pray with them and comforting them in various situations, I had to be very gentle in how I did that. So here's the balance that I found. Boldness in the pulpit, gentleness when I come out of the pulpit. That's not to say that I'm not gentle in the pulpit, but that is to say that they believe part of what helps with them embracing this conviction of what the Bible says, yes, it's the fact that the Bible says it above all. But if I came into the pulpit saying what the Bible says, but my nonverbal or even the way that I communicated it was anything less than I really believe this because this is God's word, I can't be passive in my delivery and expect that that alone is going to help. When they feel the heat move from the pulpit and go into the pew, and by the way, not performance, but just the heat, which is really what preaching is. It's the heat on the teaching. With the heat, as I preach, that boldness, it's kind of like the old story that you've heard about George Whitefield. Guy shows up, why do you keep coming? And you don't believe it. Well, I believe he believes it. When they believe it, you believe it. And it's the Word, the Holy Spirit makes up the difference.
Amen. I believe that was Benjamin Franklin who said that, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was Benjamin Franklin that said that about Whitfield, why he keeps going to hear him preach.
Yeah, yeah. So that same concept. I light a fire in the pulpit and pray that the Holy Spirit really helps both the hearer and me, the preacher.
And we are out of time, brother, and I definitely want to have you come back. I want to make sure our listeners have your website, hpbiblechurch.org, HP for High Point, BibleChurch.org. Thank you so much, Pastor Otis Buckley, for being a superb guest. Thank you, everyone who took the time to write in questions, and then those of you who listened. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives, Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.